Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, November 19th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Caffeine and Cosmos Alpha with Pylons, featuring Michael Sofair, hosted by Cosmos Haas. Let's take a listen.
Hello, sir.
one early bird right now. I actually got some sleep for once in my life.
What changed?
Just it's Saturday.
What a goddamn week.
Yeah, I was so tired yesterday. Friday, when Friday comes around, man, I'm just so, like, brain dead, beat, exhausted. Name any word.
I just, like, dealing, you know, it's just, like, the amount of drama in, like, crypto and Cosmos this week is, like, I don't know. I mean, I think, like, this is, Luna was probably a little more than this. It feels like, because I think everyone wasn't ready for Luna, and after Luna, they kind of were ready, you know? But
yeah, for sure. I think people just, unfortunately, when markets are a little bit down, that's that people do kind of go out of their way to look for drama. I mean, I'm personally not one of them. I don't really like any of that. But I mean, if it's warranted, it's warranted, I guess. But I think a lot of people just, you know, it's just human nature. When shit's down, people just want to bitch, you know? It's like, you can look at it with like sports teams or whatever. If your favorite sports team isn't doing well, then everyone just wants to like just go on the shit storm with everyone, you know? And it's kind of like this market right now. People just want to like look for things to be mad about. And I don't know. I don't think it's that gloomy though, but,
gloomy. I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know. I look, nothing's changed in the fundamentals of like, does blockchain matter? Right. Like, and this is what people are saying is like, if your thesis is that blockchain matters, then none of this should change anything because, you know, it's just a bunch of drama, right? So I don't know if it's gloomy, but it's like very, like, it's very like heavy in a way. Maybe not to you. I definitely feel like, you know, seeing the like seeing this get out there in the mainstream, right? And like Forbes, what the stuff Forbes is writing. I don't know. It's been a week. I'm just like babbling because I'm like sort of, you know, I guess we're 5 minutes in, so maybe we should start talking about pylons or something.
Yeah, realistically, when it comes to like mainstream media, I don't listen to them about anything. Like, I don't care what it is. That's just my personality. I just don't trust them. I don't agree with them most of the times. So I just kind of stay away from it. And I know just in general what they do anyhow is negative news always sells, I guess. So basically that's all they're going to be anyhow. You know, they never put any positivity pretty much anytime about any topic. And more specifically, they're not going to with crypto. There's just no point for them to do it because there's no incentive for them to ever put anything positive about crypto. You know, like they're probably not getting funded by anything in crypto. The people that are running their corporate entities aren't probably making anything from crypto. So there's just no reason for them to do any positivity. So I don't listen to them about anything because I mean, if people listen to them, they would have thought the internet was a scam, just like they all were saying it was, you know, like people would have literally just stayed away from the internet. And obviously that was the worst. And, you know, it's just like, it was just so wrong. I remember them just promoting how the internet was just like a little fad and a hobby and it was a scam and it wasn't going to work. And I mean, that was literally the worst prediction probably humanity's ever made, because I mean, pretty much everyone's life has been changed by the internet. Even people that don't want to use it still use it. I mean, I don't know. There probably aren't too many people in the world that don't have a smartphone by now. So, I mean, the internet has changed everything for everyone. So I think crypto, maybe not to that complete extent, but it's definitely going to be around for, you know, it's here to stay. And like you were saying about the fundamentals, yeah, it doesn't change. And I've been investing in tech for a long time now. And, you know, it wasn't unfamiliarized for, you know, Google or Apple or whomever to take a like a really big haircut and then kind of go back up again. And, you know, crypto is just, it is a new tech. So it's going to go ups and downs, and you can't really get caught in the emotion of it. I mean, some people, they will, the ones that come into space and they think they're just going to become wealthy overnight, then those are the ones that are going to find out that's not really how real life works. Yeah, some people may get lucky, but if you have a long-term view set in mind and you stay up with everything, you keep in touch with everything, and you know what's going on before everyone else does, then, you know, you're setting yourself ahead of the curve. And the fundamentals hasn't changed. In fact, I mean, they just keep improving, you know, like things happen. The app chain thesis is all, in my opinion, is the way of the future. And Cosmos is building all the infrastructure. It has always been since day one, since I think it was 5 years now they've been working on it. It's been kind of slow and steady. I mean, you can even look at the Atom token. Like, so what is the purpose of it? Really, there, I mean, if you think about it, in theory, there really isn't any yet. I mean, besides it being for airdrops, I mean, realistically, what else is it for? It used to be, it was like the currency. Well, I mean, not really anymore either. You can easily get USDC on and off of Cosmos. You can easily get Osmo on and off. You can get, you know, there's other currencies as well. So,
yeah. And, you know, I think there's no, it's very difficult for me to see the like political situation with the hub, you know, where sort of like Jay is doing what he's doing and throwing his weight around so much. And, you know, I don't know what he wants the hub to be. Even he just sort of like hates Zucky. It's just a little bit like it's that to me is a little depressing. Like I don't know what that is. You know, what is Atom going to be? Is like, well, what are the Atom holders want it to be? And then like, who are the Atom holders? Well, it's like the big ones are Jay and Ethan, and like, what do they want? And like, you know, Jay seems to want personal loyalty, and Ethan seems to want like no one to ever be angry, and like neither of those things is a technical vision. So
yeah, I agree with that. That's a good way of putting it. It does get like that. I mean, I've been to a couple crypto events, and like people come up to me and say, you know, what's the value accrual mechanism for Atom? And I just straight up tell them, I mean, I believe in it, but I'm not going to give you an honest answer. This is what I think it could be, but I don't know if it will be, you know. And that's kind of my thing about Atom. But again, like with the app chain thesis, realistically, you don't need the Atom token. Like you can do everything in Cosmos. Realistically, everything, because there's nothing even built on Atom. Like you don't need Atom for anything. And this isn't me like shitting on Atom, because I own a bunch of Atom. It doesn't serve my interest to say and badmouth it. But I mean, you can do everything in Cosmos. You can interact with every chain in Cosmos without the Atom token. So I mean, you tell me, like, I don't know. Like, I like that though, because I like that approach. You know, I'm not the biggest person on having to pay, be on one monolithic chain and have to have that for gas for everything in the ecosystem. Like, I think that is the worst and unsustainable model in tech anyhow. And I don't think that's foreseeable, even if that goes for like Ethereum in the long haul. You know, I just don't see that being a thing, because why the hell would you want to do that, right? Like for the most part, if you're a team, why would you want that? Like, oh, you know what? You know, 5 years from now, let me just deploy on this L1 and have to lease everything. Like that, I just don't see that being sustainable. That's why I do like the app chain thesis. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see like how that all plays out over the next like 3, 4, 5 years. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very interested to see what happens over the next 3, 4, 5 months. Like, you know, is there some kind of, I've actually sort of had this daydream of like, maybe I'll just like put up a governance proposal about like what I think the hub should do and just like see what happens. It's just like, here's a vision for the hub. What do you guys think? And it would cost me like whatever, a few hundred dollars that it costs. Right. Which I don't particularly want to spend, but like, it'd be interesting. Just be like, hey, like, does this make sense? Like, what are we doing here? Because I don't know. I think the last, like, there's been a bunch of stuff defeated on the hub governance, right? Like Cosm Wasm was defeated. Now 82 is defeated. You know, Jay's proposals got demolished. So like, okay, well, what are we doing here?
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. Cause if you think about it, again, this isn't me shitting on Adam, but a lot of it is because of newer people getting into crypto. They automatically just buy it. I don't know if they're just conditioned that they think you just automatically need it to like interact with all these different things, or the name, you know, the marketing side of it is it's complicated. You know, most people, when they hear Cosmos, new people, they're all of a sudden, they're literally, the first thing they're probably going to think of is Atom. Cause again, they're all conditioned that you need a particular token to do anything inside that ecosystem. But anyone that has experience, when they think of Cosmos, they just basically think of IVC. They think of all these different chains and stuff like that. I mean, yeah. I know myself, I never think when someone, the first time I hear the word Cosmos, like even when I put, hey, Cosmos Saturday, like I don't think of Atom Saturday at all. I just think of IBC gang, like people that are building things in IBC, whether that's something on top of another chain or they got their own chain. But so like I think that works in the benefit of that, and that doesn't give them any sort of urgency. But I think perhaps more of these L1s that are going to be getting their token, like Osmosis was on Binance, I think that kind of has to put a little pep in their step, because really at the end of that, then like what's the point? Like people literally don't even need. And really, if you think about it, really right now, Osmo is more, really, in my opinion, like I could be wrong, but I think like if you want to look at market caps right now, and this isn't me because I like Osmo too. I think Osmo's market cap should probably be bigger than Atom's market cap, because really there's more of a need for the Osmo token than Atom right now. And that's just the way I look at it. Now, I know like a lot of like Atom OGs probably wouldn't like me saying that, but that's kind of really, if you think about it, use case right now, there's way more use case for Osmo than Atom. There just is. Like there's no, it's undeniable. Like the only thing that is good for Atom is airdrops. But even that, like one, that's not guaranteed. That's not sustainable in the future. And two, I mean, you get plenty of airdrops with Osmo token. So I mean, I don't know. I want the best for Atom. I want Atom to be $1,000 one day.
You know, you sound like Sunny right now.
I do.
You know. Which is sort of what he says, and you know, we don't, and I guess he did vote for 82 in the end. I think Sika voted for 82 in the end, although I'm not sure. So you know, there's some, you can definitely say that he does sort of actually act this way, where he's sort of like, look, I'm doing the best I can with Osmo. Osmo is kind of taken over as the hub. The hub should do something that makes it happen, makes it win, right? Like, what do you like? He's just like, I support the hub, but what does the hub want to do? Like, do it, do something. Which I think is fair. but like, you know, I think that's sort of like, I also have a bunch of Atom, and, you know, those of you who know who I am, like, know that I've been an Atom holder for a long time, that I sort of, you know, met Jay in 2016 and have been pushing the project since then. So, you know, I'm a big Atom booster. I just sort of like, you know, I also bought a bunch of Osmo, right? I also like bought a bunch of Juno, you know, whatever. There's like, you do have to sort of say, okay, well, like if this is an ecosystem, right? Ecosystems are unpredictable and it could go a bunch of different ways. And so like, you know, what do you think is cool, and buy some of that? And I don't know. I don't know. And that's sort of what you, as someone who's sort of interested in IBC, that's sort of one of the few ways you're like able to sort of make a bet on IBC. It's just like buy tokens. Because secret news from Pylons. We have been, so, you know, Pylons is like, you know, we're a digital items chain. I don't like to say NFT because I think it's a terrible term. So we're like a digital items chain, and you know, we're very mobile first. We're very sort of like end user. We're very user experience focused. Very, very focused on regular people who like just want to make art and buy art and don't care about magic internet money. And so we've been building this for a while, and it's really, really important to us as you know, we think it's pretty critical that we stay sort of regulatorily compliant, right? We like, we're trying to run on these app stores, we're connecting to, like, you know, fiat money payment portals, and we just can't afford to be in a position where we're doing anything that the SEC doesn't like. And it turns out that one of the things the SEC doesn't like is when you sell tokens. So we've never sold any tokens. And that leaves our chain centralized at the moment, which is something that, like, over 3 years or so, I kind of want to do something about. But I think that decentralizing a chain really early actually doesn't really make any sense. Like, you can sell a bunch of tokens, but then it's still just the one team that's just doing it, right? And, like, there's no real governance. Like, there's no real disputes in governance, because it's just like, well, what does the team want to do? Because there's just the team. So I don't know. I don't feel super bad about, like, not being fully decentralized yet. But I have always felt bad that people can't invest. That, like, you know, because I'm all around here, like, fucking buying Osmo tokens and shit, and no one can get invested in pylons. And we spent a whole bunch of time grinding on it. And we filed a Form C yesterday to do a crowdfund. So we're going to raise a public equity round, which is, like, I think the first time that American retail investors are legally allowed to invest in an L1. You know, obviously most people in this space invest in a lot of L1s, including me, but you aren't supposed to, you know, but now, I don't know. I hope that this is a big deal for the space, because I really believe that, like, trying to bring decentralization, you know, try to get, like, distributed consensus and decentralization as, like, the first little thing that you bring to a product. So we're, like, not doing cryptocurrency. We're, like, not doing any kind of, like, we're not anarchic at all. We're just like, hey, like, do you want to, like, buy JPEGs that are on a blockchain, but with dollars, like, on a regulated platform on your phone, right? And yeah, we got a Form C in, which is just, like, it's been, like, a huge journey for me and for the team to actually, like, get that thing filed and be in a place where we can actually do this. So I don't know. That's sort of what I wanted to talk about. You know, we haven't really told anyone, so I'm curious what people think about that. Like, is that cool, or am I just old?
No, I personally think that's cool. I mean, why do you think that it hasn't been, like, an ongoing thing for Americans, basically? I mean, yeah. I get with the regulatory thing, but why hasn't anyone else done crowdfunds like this?
I think it's because crowdfunding platforms won't. If you've sold a token, you pretty much can't go on a crowdfunding platform, because you're sort of already done something. Like, you have to put out a financial statement, right, with your Form C, and you have to be like, have you issued other securities, right? And you kind of have to say, oh yeah, we issued this, like, unregulated token onto a DEX. And then nobody wants to sign off on your Form C, because, you know, we're on this place, I think, and I've thought this for a long time, right, that, like, the utility token concept is completely ridiculous. All of these things are securities. And so everyone who's doing this is just, like, breaking the law and hoping that they're not the ones who get caught. They're not the ones who get not caught, but they're not the ones who get sort of made an example of. And they're probably right. Right. Most people who are doing these token sales are not going to get made an example of. They're not going to get shut down. It's going to be OK. But I think it's pretty clearly not legal. So, you know, the crowdfunding platforms are not interested in sort of putting their reputation, because they're like, they have all these regulations and all these, they're, you know, whatever. They don't want to put their reputation behind trying to do a crowd raise for a company that's issued an unlicensed security. And so you just can't do it if you've issued a token. And it's very hard to get to a point as an L1 where you can do a crowd raise and be credible without issuing a token. And, you know, so that's why I think we're the first ones. As far as I know, I think we're the first ones.
So as, like, the person on the other end is like, hey, that sounds interesting. Like, what is it going to entail for us to as, like, an investor to get a part of that? And also, what would be the way that we can potentially get an ROI on investing in pylons?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's just like investing in a company, right? Like, it is investing in a company. So I think the pitch should be easier than the pitch for selling a token. Because whatever we do that makes money, which is what we're here to do, the investors in a crowdfund get a piece of. So you know, are we going to sell tokens at some point? I think we have to at some point. I think that's what makes, you know, blockchains work. And, you know, we own them and we're going to sell them, and that money belongs to the equity investors. Right. So you're, you know, what you're doing here is getting on the other side of the token sale game. Right. Like, we, you know, people are selling these tokens, and sometimes retail makes a bunch of money and sometimes they don't. But the people selling the tokens definitely make a bunch of money. So, you know, this is a pre-token sale investment, which is a pretty good moment if you believe in token sales. We're going to figure out how to do it. I don't know how long it'll take. And I don't know. I hope that wasn't something I hope that was like my lawyer is going to like get mad at me or something for saying that. But like, you know, we have to distribute these tokens. And we're going to register them however we have to do that. And it's going to take time, and we're going to sell them probably to larger players and all of this stuff. Right. But, you know, that's something you'll be on the making money side of, like making fiat money side of. And then, you know, there's other stuff going on. We're building, we have this mobile app, right? And the mobile app is for NFT collectors and artists and all this stuff. And we're going to start having promotions on it, right? Like, you should start promoting art. People make art, and people build games. Our game SDK, we found like one issue in our, you know, if I can be super technical, there was like a bug in Cosmos SDK where certain kinds of queries for messages that had underscores in the message name weren't returning. And so like, when we were just about to release our gaming SDK, we figured out that like, it actually wasn't getting responses from certain kinds of requests because of this bug in the Cosmos SDK. So like, it's not out, but I think it'll be out this week. So the gaming SDK and all this stuff, and we're going to start having on platform advertising and promotion. And so there's like a revenue channel there, as well as from the token sales. And, you know, we have patents, right? I filed, well, not patents, one patent that's filed and published and that might issue. I hope it issues. And you know, that could have licensing associated with it. That would also accrue to equity investors. So, you know, I think people in the blockchain space are really used to buying tokens because you have this like incredible liquidity, but there is a certain amount of incentive alignment that exists with an equity investment that doesn't exist with tokens, because you like own part of the company, right? And if like, you know, if a company can just pivot away from its token and like relaunch the network with a new token and like fuck you, and we can't do that to equity investors, right? So there's definitely like more safety on that front, and more ways that you can accrue value. I don't know if that answers. I think that answers your question.
Yeah, that definitely does. And the only thing I was thinking of is how much equity percent are you guys willing to I guess give up, so to speak?
Well, so the limit, the this type of crowdfund, which where we did a certified CPA financial review, but we did not do like a formal audit. It limits us to $1.23 million in equity, and the valuation cap on the note is 50. So it's 2%, a little more than 2% of the company is going to give away in this crowdfunding round.
Okay. And then for like your crowdfunding, is there any sort of minimum?
There is, and the platform sets it. So Republic sets it. I think it's like $100.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really a crowdfunding round. Like, we're not trying to be, this is not like, you know, a call to whales to come and like throw lots and lots of money at us. I really think like I want to get people, regular people, regular artists, regular art collectors who care about blockchain. Like, here's an opportunity, you know, here's a product that is just like, we're just trying to build stuff. We're just like, you know, we're an art platform, we're a games platform. We don't have like a pump and dump token. We just don't have a pump and dump. We don't have a token, right? Like, when you buy stuff on the platform, you use like dollars. It's you know, you get paid in dollars for selling stuff. It's like, it's commerce. We're just doing like basic commerce that's like blockchain secured. That's it. And if you care about art and you care about this stuff more than you care about like, you know, the token games, then I think we're a good place to sort of be a part of.
So when you stopped by last night and we were talking, you would know this answer. So I want to say you guys said your fees are going to be 10%. That's kind of how like the value mechanism is for pylons. What is that comparatively to say the Apple store? Like doesn't Apple charge like 35% fees to their, like their artists and the developers and stuff like that? I'm not sure exactly what their fee is. I know it's high though.
Yeah, it's high. So 30% is the base fee. You can apply as a small business to have a temporary reduction to 15%. And then there are special deals. If you are selling like physical objects, you don't have to pay it, or you have a much lower rate, I think. So like if you're the Etsy app, I think, you know, and you're selling like hoodies, you don't have to pay 30%. But basically for digital items, Apple actually came out a month ago and said, you absolutely have to pay the 30%, and you're not allowed to use any payment method other than in-app purchasing for digital items on the App Store, which means that even on pylons, you actually do have, well, you, someone has to pay the 30% to buy the, basically what we've done on pylons is we've created like gift cards, right, for the platform. So you can buy the gift card and you have to pay Apple's, you know, 30%. And then you can use that. But then if that money keeps circulating, you don't have to keep paying Apple's 30%, right? Because that was already purchased onto the platform with your Apple in-app purchase. So it's, you know, it's not quite that bad, but we have to follow Apple's rules. On Android, you can pay with a credit card and pay with Stripe. And then you only pay, you know, the Stripe 2%, right? So we are a lot cheaper than the Apple Store as sort of like a base thing. We're more expensive than a payment processor, but you also already have to have a payment processor, so we're not really compared to that. We're a little more expensive than OpenSea, but we're a layer one, right? We're doing more than OpenSea's doing in a sense. We're a different piece of the stack than OpenSea. But I also think that, you know, as people use the platform and as we see how people use the platform, the payment model will change. So like a flat 10% isn't going to make sense in the end. And I'm not, you know, there are people out there who are experts on pricing structures and like that's their life. And I'm not one of those people. I like, you know, I like write software, right? And right now I like write software. And also I do a lot of Google Meet, you know, meetings about what we're doing. I do a lot of organization and I don't do any, like, I don't know anything about how to set up pricing structure. So my instinct is that it'll come down a little bit and we'll figure out what makes sense. Obviously, you know, people who buy into the, you know, crowdfund will potentially want the pricing to be higher, right? People who are using the platform want it to be lower, and that's how pricing works, and we'll figure something out. But, you know, we definitely are not going to be as expensive as Apple at like at a base level.
So with you, so let me ask you this, might sound like a stupid question, but so since you're having your own L1 and it's all mobile based, you don't have to use Apple for anything?
You don't have to use Apple. No, I mean, you can use, if you're on an iPhone, you're using Apple. If you're not, if you're on an Android phone, you're not, you don't have to use Apple for anything. So I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, I guess like most people, well, in America, I would say, I know in America, this is probably a decent random thing to throw out there. I think most people in America probably have Apple, maybe not worldwide, but so like I'm on an Apple right now. I'm on iOS.
Yeah.
So do most, I have to pay more to use pylons than someone else?
Potentially. But it depends on what you do for it depends on what you do. But yeah, you Apple has made it very clear that they won't allow any apps to use any systems of payment that don't give them their 30%. That's Apple's out. They just said that, right? So like, this isn't a choice that we have. For people on iOS, we have to follow the iOS rules. The iOS rules are you can only use in-app purchasing for purchasing. So,
Michael, did you ever, I haven't, but have you ever followed up on that case with Epic Games, like Fortnite versus Apple?
Yeah, I think that's still ongoing, right? And there definitely is a possibility that they won't be able to enforce that rule. And I think, you know, I think that is part of, I don't know. It's still going. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember looking into that because I used to play a lot of Fortnite, and I remember seeing that because, like, basically V-Bucks is kind of like their crypto, so to speak, and their game. It's like their ecosystem money. And they were charging less than what Apple would charge for, like, a lot of people use it for mobile gaming too, because, like, Fortnite's like on every single platform imaginable. And that's kind of why it became so big. But anyhow, I remember that they were beefing back and forth because people were able to buy V-Bucks without basically bypassing getting just mugged by Apple fees. And I know there's, I like I said, I didn't know if they're still in it. I haven't looked in a long time, but
yeah,
I from what I remember reading about some things, like I think Epic's going to win in the long run. And Epic, yeah, they don't have as much money as Apple, but they do. They're a billion, you know, they got billions, so they can't just be bullied either. I get it from, like, you know, like if you or I, we create this cool game and we're like, oh, we're on iOS, like they could just bully us because we don't have the manpower and all these, you know, millions and millions of dollars just to throw around to go to bat against them. But I was just interested because I think even, you know, like I remember reading this article about, like, if Fortnite wins, which they should, Epic Games, that it's going to actually change the way the fee structure is on Apple, because like Epic couldn't win and then they could just bully everyone else. Like, it'll actually change the structure of it. So I think that would be a good thing if that does happen, because that is absurd. Like 35% is absurd. And not only that, like, I know we're talking about mobile, but one of the blockchains that I'm really interested in is Ultra, and that's for PC gaming. And they're kind of doing the same thing what you're doing, but only for PC gaming. And it has to do with Steam, because Steam is the same way. Like, they really just, their fees are so absurd. And it's like, why would a developer, maybe, you know, it's a couple guys or, you know, like a small team of 10, they're building this cool ass game. They're going to launch on Steam. And then, like, basically like 35, 40% of its proceeds just automatically go to Steam, as opposed to, like, if they launch on like Ultra, it's like the same thing. It's like 10%. It's like a smaller amount. Like, the fees are lower. Also, like, Steam, I think, outlawed basically any sort of in-game currencies or anything like that, or like you can't sell like NFTs, and if you earn things throughout the game, you can't sell them individually, but like on Ultra you're going to be able to. So like, as a developer building a cool game or whatever, like it makes total sense just to get out of Steam and go build something on blockchain. So I'm just interested because I firmly believe that the next wave of like millions and millions of people coming over to crypto is going to be through blockchain gaming, whether that's on mobile or like PC gaming. And obviously PC gaming is just a small, like, little niche. Like, obviously mobile gaming is just gigantic compared to that. So I'm just really interested in that.
I mean, I don't know. Steam is a really interesting case, like just a wild company. You know, they built a really, really good product for game sales, and they did a really good job of sort of not making it like, you know, if you look at the other game stores, they kind of suck, right? And they all sort of are like really all about one publisher's games. Like, nobody else did a really good thing. Like, Valve doesn't publish that many games, right? Like, they put out a game every like 2 or 3 years. So like, Steam is not really like a publishing tool for Valve's games. And people feel that. And it's nice. It's nice to be like, it's nice that, you know, I'm on Steam all the time and it doesn't feel like I'm in like Valve's house, right? Like they're trying to push fucking, like, I don't know, Team Fortress 2 on me all the time, which I love. I love Team Fortress 2. So yeah, but they did a good job. They built this platform. Everyone's there, and then they charge a shit ton of money, right? And like, yeah, that's something you can disrupt. But obviously, like, they're gonna fight you. They make a lot of money, and they're gonna fight you, right? And Apple's sort of the same way. They make a lot of money, because like every rich person in the United States has an iPhone, right? Like, there's not that many people in the world. Most people have Androids in the world, but like most rich people in America have iPhones, and that's where all the money is. And they're gonna, you know, they're gonna fight you. And the Epic case, you know, this week is actually like a big week for it. It went back to appeals court, it went to the appeals court this week, and I think arguments started, and basically, like, the court ruled that Apple is allowed to not permit you to use other payment methods, but has to let you link to your website to do payments if people want to do that. And so both sides are appealing the ruling, and Epic is saying that Apple shouldn't be allowed to you know, block credit card payments, and Apple is saying they shouldn't have to let people use websites for payments. And so they're both going back to court, and that's happening, you know, last week, this week, and next week. So we're going to see. I think that, like, you know, we're small. Pylons is not, like, going to go up against Apple and win, right? Like, that isn't how it's going to be. So we're just doing what Apple tells us to do, which is, like, when people need to buy, you know, Pylons credit, like, on Apple phones, you have to buy it on the store. You have to use the App Store. That's how it has to be. That's the rules. So we do it. And I think, like, you know, I think it's really easy, because those of us who are in crypto, like, a lot of us are here because we believe in this, like, this concept of freedom and permissionlessness. And we just want to, like, do the thing that we want to do. And we don't want to be, like, told by the platform that the thing we want to do doesn't make them enough money, so we can't do it. Right. But, like, as just a normal person who, like, wants to sell art or wants to sell games, right? Like, if you can reach all of these people with all of this money, you don't actually care that Apple's taking a third of it. You're making a bunch of money, you know, and that's great. And, like, you won, right? So we really are trying to take the attitude of, like, you know, this is the fight against Apple is like, interesting, and we, you know, we definitely feel for the, like, we definitely are on the side of, like, we like freedom. We don't like, you know, these sort of, like, we want more money lockdown systems. But we also want to keep in mind that successful games and successful, like, art platforms make a ton of money even with this 30%. And that's what we're really trying to, we really need to, like, open the gates, make it easy, bring a lot of users into the system, right? Make it super easy to sell a piece of art for $3 and walk out with $2, right? And if you sell 10,000, right, that's $20,000. And Apple got 10 grand and that sucks, but you also got $20,000. So, like, it's okay, right? That's sort of where we're trying to be in terms of just, like, how do we get a big enough user base that people are selling tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of items in their games of their art, right? Or, you know, running tickets to events. And we believe that if you're holding a physical event and you sell tickets on the blockchain to your physical event, because there is a physical component, you don't have to pay Apple's 30%. And we probably will at some point find out whether Apple agrees with us, because that is a product we're interested in building. So we'll see, right? But all of this stuff is just, like, what is normal? Like, what normal things can we sell, like, and just make the internet? Like, this is, like, the, you know, people have used this term Web3, right? And it's just like, oh, Web3. Well, that's good, right? That's better than Web2, right? It should be better than Web2. Well, all right, let's do boring web things, like sell art or, like, sell tickets, right? Like, where's our, like, this, let's just do e-commerce, but, like, in a way where we don't have these, like, weird, you know, 5,000 different accounts on 5,000 different monolithic systems that decide who owns what. They can't talk to each other. And, like, let's just do basic e-commerce, but let's do it in a blockchain way where it's connected and IBC enabled and all this stuff. And so, like, in a lot of ways, it's, like, a really big project, right? We've had to build so many pieces, but in a different way, from a product perspective, it's, like, not a big project. It's, like, we're trying to build an incremental project where it's just, okay, here's mobile web commerce. And, like, yeah, blockchain is good for this. Right. So yeah, I think that's answered your question. I think I did it.
Yeah, that was very detailed. I appreciate that. That's fascinating though. So it looks like that's one of the things that you want to do too is like tickets and whatnot. Cause I think that whole structure can be better in Web2, you know, like Ticketmaster and all these different pieces. It's really like you were saying, it's a perfect way of putting it. You know, you have to have 30 different apps on your phone if you want Ticketmaster and you want this and you want that. And then not only that, like, it's hard to find the stuff, and You can't do anything with it. And yeah, it's cool. Like some of these, like I went to a couple games this year and they gave me like an NFT for like a special event that they did. But then it's like, well, what can I do with it? You know, there's nothing I can actually even do with it. So it needs to be on blockchain for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, to me, that's one of the ways that blockchain can really make a difference. It's just like, you know, we don't need at all of these different siloed infrastructures of ownership that don't get us anything. Right. It's like, we don't need to own things on all these different platforms that not only can't talk to each other, but that you actually can't rely on them, not just like deciding you don't own it anymore and deleting your stuff. Right. And I don't know, to me that matters. So we're going to see, we're putting it out in the world and we're going to see how much it matters to other people to sort of just fix that, not just fix that, but like primarily fix that.
Nice. Yes. Let's do a little roadmap recap. So when do you think like the crowdsourcing will be available, like kind of estimated time? And then like after that is, you know, that commences, like, when do you think you feel comfortable saying, hey, you know, we're the chain is live, everyone, and you guys can go, you know, build shit and do shit on it?
Yeah. All right. Well, the chain is live now. The games SDK doesn't quite work, but the art SDK does work. You know, you can fork our art minter and make your own art minter and all that stuff. The chain is live. The apps work. You can sell art. So, you know, that stuff is working. The crowdfund starts Monday. So that'll be available Monday. And then mainnet, I don't know. I don't want to promise because I keep promising and we keep missing the date because it's like there's just always another little thing. And, you know, I feel like we're the only project in blockchain that wants the product to really work before we go to mainnet. Like, I remember, you know, do you remember when Stars went to mainnet and like, it literally didn't have any features, right?
Yeah, it didn't have anything.
It had nothing. It was literally just like a blank Cosmos SDK chain. And they were like, it's mainnet. Stargaze is mainnet. And then there was a vote on Stargaze to like add the first features, right? So like, I don't know, like that worked. It would never have occurred to me to do that, but it absolutely did work. So, you know, I feel a little bit silly, like waiting until everything really, really works before I say that we're mainnet. But, you know, the chain's open source. So like you can definitely go look and you can see all the stuff we're doing, all of our GitHub issues. You know, our right now, like the ones we're like upgrading SDK for the issue I told you about before with like the underscores and message names. We're doing a few tweaks to the onboarding flow in the wallet. The Pylons app is like still a little too complicated. Every time we make it simpler, we try it and we're like, it's still not simple enough. So, you know, that's coming out soon. We are doing a few tweaks to some of the token distribution stuff, but it could be really soon. Mainnet could be really soon, right? It could be this coming week. It could also not be this coming week. So I can't promise you a date for mainnet. I feel more comfortable saying that the games SDK will be this week. And I feel very confident to tell you that on Monday, we're going to have a crowdfund.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, and that's a kind of a shitty question to ask in this space. Cause like you're saying, things happen and it all depends on the developer or what they want. You know, like you were saying, I remember when Stars did launch, like there was nothing on it, you know, and now it's became, you know, it's a lot, there's a lot more going on, but with it, but you know, you also, I don't know. It's like hit or miss, you know, like I think perhaps you're doing the right thing because if someone goes out of their way and downloads an app on their phone and then there's like nothing there or it doesn't work or it's just kind of crappy, it's like, maybe they just delete it and they never come back. So, you know, I think it's better to kind of have some products and some things to do for just the average user, because then they're more interested. Like, oh yeah, there's some cool shit on here, and then they'll keep it. Because I don't know about you or anyone listening, but myself, I don't have much space on my phone. So it's like, I have to, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, let me download this new app. And then I have to like go ahead and delete something else. So, you know, that kind of, I think you, that's probably the right way of going about it potentially there. And then, I guess I had to ask a question about like validators. For it to be super fast, obviously it's just the role in crypto. The more validators, the slower it is. So what your blockchain obviously has to be really fast. So how many validators do you have on your blockchain? And then also, how do they, since there's no token, I'm assuming that they get a certain percent of like the total fee.
Yeah. Okay. So let me give you an exact answer on the validators. Cause I can just bring up the little block explorer that we get, you know, explorers.guru put up an explorer for us and active validators. So we have 98, we have 69 active validators. Nice. And yeah, there's 98 that have validator keys, but 69 of them are active right now. So my guess is we're going to go through some of those inactive validators are not going to be in the mainnet. So, you know, about 70 is sort of the answer. And then in terms of how they get paid, so there is the network does have a token. It just isn't something that users need to get involved with. So we have a token, it's called Bedrock. And we have, you know, we distribute the revenue of the chain through the token to the token holders. At this point, the company Pylons Incorporated holds the vast majority, right, of these tokens. And at some point we will try to sell them, you know, in whatever way makes sense, whether that's like direct sales to people, you know, we want to have like game companies on the platform. So we want to sell them the token, right? You know, however we do that, I'm sure at some point there'll be public sales as well. So there is a token and we can give it to validators. We can pay validators in it. But the revenue comes through that token to the token holders. And then there's a commission, just like on every other chain, the validators get a percentage of the revenue coming through the token, right? So, you know, the network takes a commission of the gross volume on the platform, and then the validators take a commission of the commission. So that's the economics of it.
Yeah, it makes total sense. So say you're an equity holder, or I mean, it might be a dumb question, but would we get like a Bedrock token, or how visually does it look like? Where it just says, hey, you own 0.002% of Pylons.
Yeah, I extremely cannot promise a token distribution. There's some things that I understand that my lawyer told me, and that is one of the things. I cannot promise a token distribution, especially to Americans. So, you know, look, you're an equity holder in the company. If participants in the crowd sale become equity holders in the company, right? You know, through this note. It's not shares, but it's through this CrowdSafe, right, which is an equity instrument. And that the company holds most of the tokens, the revenue accrues to the company. And so you own, you know, it's just like owning shares in a company, right? Like you own part of some other company. Well, they make a bunch of money. And how does that money get to you? Well, you know, either it comes out in distributions in some way or another, or at some point the company gets acquired and you get that money. So that's how it works, right? There's obviously like a possibility technically that a token distribution could occur. You know, it's not at all clear how to do that in a legal way to us. So we definitely are not going to do it unless we figure out how to do it in a legal way. So that's sort of the answer to that.
That makes so much sense. I mean, there's so much unclear certainty in the space when it comes to being like legal. I don't even think like the SEC or any of them even know what's going on of like where they draw the line in the sand. And you can see, you know, what's going on right now with FTX and, you know, if they're offshore and, you know, Americans technically shouldn't have been affected by FTX at all, because that means you, like you were saying earlier, not about FTX, but you illegally obtained FTX because you had to use, you know, right, a VPN to even get on there. So that means you're, I mean, not that I appreciate VPNs, but that just means like you kind of went out of your way. And it's, I mean, not that I wish anything on anyone because it's not their fault, but you kind of did something illegal. So, I mean, that
people, part of it. People used to make fun of me for not being willing to use a VPN. And I used FTX.us, I think. No, I didn't because I'm in New York. And so they wouldn't let me. But I signed up for FTX.us and couldn't use it. I signed up for Binance.us and I used like, I needed Binance for some, there was some reason I needed BNB. And so I did that. But I wanted to sign up for FTX.com, but I just was just like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to mess with the securities laws. I'm not going to. And I'll use a VPN for other stuff, but I'm just not going to use a VPN to like get around securities rules. And everyone thought I was like kind of a dork for that. Just like kind of like a goody two shoes idiot for like not wanting to use a VPN to like pretend I wasn't an American. But in this case, it worked out, you know, it didn't save me from getting wrecked on Terra, but it did save me from the FTX collapse. So, you know, one for two, I guess.
Yeah, I'm the same boat. I'm one for two. I've never owned FTT. I've never once even looked at FTX. Like I never even want to honor. To be honest with you, I don't want to say I'm not involved, but I didn't even know what FTX really was until I think the Super Bowl, really. When the Super Bowl went, there were so many commercials. And then I kind of was like, oh, what's the FTX? And it's just like a degen platform. And I'm from traditional finance. I'm an accountant. So one of the reasons I got into crypto is I wanted nothing to do with that. Like, I don't want my money, my funds to be held on some. So, you know, the number one rule is not your keys, not your crypto. So even the regulated, like, centralized exchanges, you know, like Coinbase, it's a public company. So like they have to produce the records. I still don't even have funds on there. Like it's on and off if I use it. And I get so sketched out even having anything on there. And that's nothing against Coinbase. Like they're regulated, but I want my funds. Like I don't even like having money in the bank, right? Like I've never really liked, oh man. And there's all kinds of stories of why that, because every time that I would make any sort of withdrawals in the past years ago, the bank would always make me feel so uncomfortable. Like, hey, what are you doing with it? What do you mean? What am I doing with it? It's my money. I earned this shit. Like if I'm doing whatever, I want to do whatever I want with it, like get out of my face. And that's kind of the way I roll. So like, I always invest my money in things because I don't even want my money to be in the bank, you know? And why would I want my money to be on any of these centralized places? And I'm not even talking about exchanges, but you know, BlockFi, Celsius, Nexo. Like, I'm not interested in 5%, maybe. Like, oh, cool.
No, it's totally insane. It's completely insane. Like, to take a 5% coupon for like a custody risk on a platform like that. And like, it's not even a custody risk, it's a counterparty risk. Cause like, it's a 5% coupon. They're lending it to somebody. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, it's just totally crazy. There's no, I mean, like, it's a completely unjustifiable. Like, if you ask somebody, like, do you think that once every 20 years, like, a Bitcoin lending system like Celsius will blow up because someone they lent Bitcoin to fails? People would be like, yeah, that probably happens once every 20 years. And then they take their 5% because they can't do math. So, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine being involved in crypto lending. To me, it's just like how, like, you're asking to get scammed, right? Like there's a yield there, and the risk is that they rug you, and they're telling you there's a risk they rug you. That's what giving you a yield means, right? It literally means we might rug you, so here's a yield, and you do it anyway. Like, okay, I can't even.
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel terrible for anyone that kind of fell through that. Like, I mean, I honestly have never been exposed to Voyager, Celsius, Nexo, BlockFi. I have at the very beginning when I first got into crypto, so I can't say I never have. Like, I've messed around on Celsius and BlockFi, but instantly I got that sketch feeling. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense, and I can't see what they're doing with it. Yeah. And I just don't feel comfortable. And then that's when I'm like, well, if I'm going to do anything like this, it's just going to be all on DeFi where I can see all the, like you go on like Osmosis, for example, you're like, hey, there's $90 million in the Osmo and Atom pool. And like, there's this, and like, you could see everything and it makes more sense. And no one actually has the keys to it. It's a decentralized platform as opposed to like, we're on this. It's just basically just reminds me of being on a website. Like, hey, let me just put my money on this random website and then hope for 5%. Like, I think why are we in this space where like no one's in this space to make 5% at the end of the day? Like if you're doing that, then you just give your money to some asshole and take your 401k and just that's it. And I'm not saying that's a bad investment, but you know,
no, it's a good investment. Like literally, if you want 5%, literally buy an I-bond. Just like go buy an I-bond.
Yeah. Go buy S&P 500 and just hold it till you retire. Like, you know, you'll probably do okay. But if you're in crypto, like you need to be in this space for more than 5%. If you're only in it for 5%, I hate to say it, but you're not logically thinking. I mean, because there's so much risk. Like we all thought Luna and UST was the next big thing, and look, it crashed, and it wasn't our fault, but it is kind of your fault when you put money on these centralized places. You're only looking for 5%.
I do not blame anybody but me for how much money I lost in UST. I don't even blame Do Kwon. I'm not like a fan of Do Kwon. I think he like fucked up huge, but I'm the one who bought that token. What the fuck? Like, I'm not gonna like, you know, I don't know. So yeah, I agree. Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. The lending platforms don't make any sense.
Well, honestly, let me ask you this, Michael. Are you against lending platforms that are like decentralized?
I think it's a bad business. I do. I think there's two kinds of lending platforms. There's lending platforms that are secretly options platforms where like the deal is that you're just not going to get your collateral back under certain kinds of market conditions, and you're not actually like lending to somebody, you're just selling a call, right? On your collateral. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know. To me, I'm just like, if you want to sell calls, just like we know how to talk about that, right? Like we have systems and math for puts and calls. And like, you know, it's, you know, you're not allowed to do it or whatever, but like I just think that lending platforms that are really options platforms they just make me unhappy. And maybe they're good. Maybe that's a great way to do options is just like put up collateral and like, and take a loan and if your collateral crashes, just fucking walk away with the loan. Like that is like, you know, get liquidated. Basically you plan to get liquidated because you think the market's going to move in such a way that wins for you. I don't know. Is that a lending platform? Like,
yeah, that's not true. I mean, that's literally the whole premise of what Anchor Protocol was. And then they were guaranteeing the writing was on the wall. I mean, some people seen it, and I can't say like I started to use it right before shitty timing with that. But I never really got it for the UST part. It was just to get more Luna. But I should have seen the writing on a wall. I mean, 20% is just it's just unrealistic to guarantee that. Like, it's just literally unrealistic.
It's totally insane. It's openly a Ponzi scheme. I don't know what to say about Apple Protocol other than I should have thought about it more and not held any UST. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, but I feel the same way. But yeah, but like at least with us losing that on UST, it wasn't. I mean, yeah, some of it had to do maybe with just stupid moves that they were making. But it's not like it was a centralized entity that we just got scammed from, really. I mean, it was just a try. Like, but when you put all your money on like a Celsius or whatever, and it's like, for what, man? Like, either just hold the token, and if it's a proof of stake, just stake it and compound, or hell, throw your shit into some DeFi. Like, go throw your, you know, whatever you were depositing on there and go put it on some sort of liquidity pool and try to earn some yield from that or something. Or just like I said, put it in a ledger and forget about it. Like, do you have a better chance with that than putting it on some centralized place, you know?
Yeah. So like, if you think about like what lending is for in the real world, right? It's like you have some asset that's illiquid and you want to like borrow against it in order to like do something productive, and you know, and people should trust you to like to make good on paying one way or another, right? That's what lending is for. So it's like, oh, I want to like live in a nice house, and so I'm gonna buy it, but I can only buy it if I also borrow against it and pay it back, and I have a job, and if I fuck up, you take my house, right? Okay, like I understand that, That makes sense, right? And there's a professional in there who's looking at this deal and being like, who is this person? How, like, do I think they're going to keep their job? What is this house? Do I think that if I have to take their house, I can sell it and, like, not lose, right? And so, like, there are professional people who do that, and then they, like, lend money based on that, right? There's another set of professional people where you say, I want to start a business, right? And here's how it's going to work. And here's the collateral, and here's, like, you know, we're going to buy this patent, and we're going to build this factory, and then we're going to do this. And a bank can be like, oh, okay, I can probably sell that factory for this much, and I can sell that patent for this much, and here's, you know, I think the business will probably work for this, and I'll write you a loan instead of being an equity investor, right? And there are people who do that. And in both of those cases, you have, like, professional people whose job is figuring out, do I think this loan is going to pay back? And we just, like, none of crypto lending has any of that. Crypto assets, like, what is an illiquid crypto asset, right? It kind of doesn't exist. You know, we have these stake tokens, and now we have liquid staking, which, like, actually kind of is almost like lending. But, and I have, like, I don't know. I've talked to, like, Dean. Like, Dean of Agoric sort of gave me the best answer as to, like, why is liquid staking even exist? And I don't even know if I can repeat it, because I just, like, I fundamentally don't understand liquid staking and why we want it. But like, you know, what's an illiquid crypto asset? Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing here? You know, liquid staking is kind of this where it's like, oh, I want to be locked up. I believe in Atom, but I also want to, like, redeploy this capital, and you can have my staked Atom if I fuck up. Maybe. But, like, I don't know. That's not really illiquid. It's just, like, not really illiquid, right? Yeah. It's not like you're starting a business. It's not like you're building a factory. So, like, what the fuck are we doing here? Why is this lending? Like, what is the economic, why is there an underlying economic need for lending in crypto when everything is so liquid already? That's how, I don't know. So no, that's why I just don't believe in crypto lending, because I don't think any of the use cases makes any sense.
No, and that's a good point to put out there too, because at the end of the day, really, at this point in juncture of crypto, really most of these digital assets, they don't really produce revenue, or if they do, it's like the valuations of that are nowhere near like what it should be, right? Like, that's just kind of how tech is in general. Like, you can look, and that's why, you know, okay, if you invest in energy, maybe it's 15x valuation, but then, like, in tech, it's always like high, because no one knows, right? Like, the future's uncertain with tech. It just always has been. So that's why there's always really high valuations on it. But crypto, some of them have super high valuations. Like, their market caps are really insane. And really, like, what kind of revenue are they really bringing? So it's all speculative. And then you throw that into, like, lending, and then you're getting, you know, you're getting a loan at a, like, you know, like, some people, they take out 70%. In real life, most people, they do live on, like, wealthy people all live on margin. I don't know if there's any individual that's wealthy that doesn't live on margin, but their margin percent's, like, you know, no more than like 30%, unless they're really a degen. But, you know, like Warren Buffett, I don't remember what it is. Maybe it's 20% or 15%. And, you know, really wealthy people live on that. But they, like you're saying, they have a lot of assets where, like, if they do mess up, you know, the bank will be like, okay, well, this is ours now, you know, and can we make a profit with that particular asset? And real estate, I mean, you could look over the long run. It always goes up. I mean, yeah, there might be a decade where it's nil or it goes down. Maybe we're going to be coming up to that soon because of, like, just how crazy the loans were. It was like 0% for so long, which is, like, unsustainable or, like, really low. And now it's the interest rates are going up. So that's just, it's just supply and demand. It's going to force home prices to go down. Some people in really inflated areas that were kind of living above their means get wrecked. And it's happened before, and it's probably going to happen again within the next, like, I think it'll happen within a decade. A lot of home prices.
You saw mortgage rates went down last week.
Yeah, it is, I mean, it's just, everything has to adjust. Like, it will adjust. I mean, there are places in the country, especially in America, where, you know, it doesn't get affected as much because they kind of, it's not like, oh, well, it's really warm here, so we're just going to charge you insane prices. Like, some people, like, you can have a home in California worth $2 million, and then you could put it in my neighborhood and it might be worth nothing because it's like, that house is a piece of crap. And the only reason it's that much is because you have you know, the weather's beautiful. Like, you know, so it's, those places get wrecked. The places that have nice weather, they're the ones that get wrecked, as opposed to like, I live in the mountains. Like you can, like where I live at, you can actually make money on your land, but like places in California, you're basically in a desert really. And there's your land really isn't that valuable. It's just that you have a nice view and oh, the weather's nice, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah. It's a good place to live. If your job is clicking a mouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Which my job is absolutely clicking a mouse.
I always like asking you questions. Cause I mean, that does make sure it does make sense though. Just for anyone listening out there, kind of be cautious of, you know, all of this. You know, you want to try to make smart decisions, and you know, nothing I ever say is financial advice. I am heavy into crypto, and I do believe it's the future. But just try to keep your emotions intact, and maybe write some stuff down, and keep yourself accountable. I know I preach it all the time, and I didn't even listen to myself when this whole, you know, before May happened with the Luna and UST thing. I was in this like, oh, Luna's going to 1,000 no matter what. I'm just going to keep, I'm using this as my store of value, and which wasn't a good store of value is my money in your bank account, really, at the end of the day. Like, you could actually do things in real life with that. And that's just a good point. And I know we will, I firmly believe, maybe I'm wrong, but we will come back to a bull market at some point over the next, you know, I don't know how many years it's going to take. It might take a year, it might take two, three, or whatever. But
I don't, look, I mean, I it could be so fast. I think, you know, the BTC maxis are saying that a deleveraging event, if a lot of people are short Bitcoin, and there's a deleveraging event, there'll be a short squeeze on Bitcoin, and that creates a bull market pretty fast, which is like, that's credible. That could happen. I have no idea, right? Like, FTX was short like $1 billion of Bitcoin. They don't have any money to back it up. So there's not going to be a Bitcoin squeeze off of FTX because they don't have any money to back it up. But like, there's other players out there that like, that have Bitcoin denominated debts, and we don't know what their assets are. And like, if any of those players has money and is short Bitcoin, that's a big catalyst. And I don't know, I believe in deleveraging as a catalyst, right? Like, all of these leverage players blow up, and like the games have to stop a little bit for a little while. So, and you know, do you think the games are positive or negative? Like, I don't know. So I'm not a super bear at this point. I just think we'll see, right? We'll see what happens. And it could go, anything could happen. And I'm just building my product. Like, you know, I don't think people should be so like terrified, you know, relative.
I don't think so either. Like, I'm not a super bull or bear either, because I just do, it's not even like TA. I don't like doing TA and all that crap, like in crypto, because to me, it doesn't really make much sense. But I'm more of a common sense person. I think I just do it on the simple fact, do I believe there's going to be more people in crypto this time next year than today? And I can't find a reason to say no. So when I keep saying yes, I just build that off of that. Like, yes, I think there's going to be, I don't know, millions of more people in crypto this time next year. And that's millions of people that are in it, maybe more, maybe hundreds of like really brilliant people that are going to build something out. Maybe someone's in college right now. Hell, someone might be in high school right now. They're going to go to Cal or MIT or whatever. They drop out because they meet, you know, a couple other bright minded people. They build some cool ass thing in crypto, and then that brings over millions of people. And like your play is like gaming, and I firmly believe gaming is like the next huge wave. And think about it, like all it takes is one game to be really good, and that could bring over, it could bring over 100 million people into crypto. And then out of those 100 million, some of them won't even care that they're using crypto, but they're using it. And then maybe some of them are like, oh, let's check this crypto thing out. So like, I'm not a bear at all. Like, yeah, the market's down a little bit, but like, I think it is people in this space, they get so leveraged, and it is like a degen paradise, right? So like, people just do not like have any moral sense when it comes to financials.
No. And it's like, as long as there's a bunch of private equity people who are like propping up the base price, then like, you know, the degens can just like run around trying to like, you know, make bonus money off like market froth, because there's all this buy pressure from like whoever it is, right? Like Saudi Arabia or whatever. And like, that's, I don't know. That's good for you, I guess, is sort of all I can say to that. Like, I mean, yeah, like ride that one as long as you can. That's fine. But like, that's not like how you, that's not like what the space in the long term needs to be about. And those private equity people, they can't make their money that way, right? Like something has to really work for them to make their money. So I'm just out here being like, all right, like let's build something, right? Let's get some, how do we get a million people to play a blockchain game? Like, how do you do that? Right. And I don't know. I mean, I do know I'm doing it, but like, it's just a different mindset. Just like build a product. Right. Cause in the end, the degens need there to be products in order to have their degen games. Cause without products, there's no private equity. And without private equity, there's no degen games.
Yeah. So I don't know if anyone in the audience had any particular questions about pylons or just in general, you know, feel free to raise your hand before we wrap it up. But yeah, I mean, it's always a good talk. I'm glad that we had this discussion. I haven't talked to you in a while. I'm gonna have more free time though, because I'm done with my real life job on Wednesday. So now it's going to be just straight grind. I mean, not that I wasn't grinding already, but I'll be able to be more efficient, be able to do more Twitter spaces throughout the day, hit different markets, also improve like content quality and kind of do some hobbies. I've been learning to code a little bit myself, and I'm really looking forward to kind of learning more skills that can be helpful for this space and things like that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Congratulations on closing the fiat mines.
Yeah, it's been well deserved. I've been basically riding it out because of my job was allowing me to work from home, but now they want me to go back to the office for zero reason, and I'm just not having it. And I put too much time and effort into this space. Obviously, I love it, every moment of it, every conversation, ups and downs. I love it because I get to learn all day long. And then, like in my real job, I've been doing it for so long now that I rarely learn anything ever. I hate to say I know everything, but I know pretty much everything about my job and what it entails and what the day is going to be, what the next day is going to be, what every interaction is going to be. And like this space, you just never know. Like I could take a couple days off, which I rarely do. And then hell, like I remember I took a couple days off whenever the Luna and UST crash happened. And I was like, what the fuck happened? Like, what's going on? And, but yeah, like just the innovations here, there's too many bright minds and too many use cases and people trying. I mean, really, if you think about it, all these different chains and applications are all just startups, and at least we have a chance for it. You know, before when Steve Jobs and those guys were building things in their garage, like no random just human being had access to being able to kind of get skin in the game. You had to be you had to have a lot of skin in the game already to even get a chance to invest in these things early. And you know, I just view all these different cryptos as just as a startup. And you know, some of them will work, some of them won't work, but at least we have the opportunity to kind of, whether you have $100, $20, you know, $10,000, $100,000, you can kind of get some skin in the game and potentially change your life. And I already came to the conclusion, like, I'm cool with, if crypto doesn't work, and I have to work until I'm 70 doing whatever, then I'm okay with that. I don't want that. I want crypto to work, obviously. And I'd much rather be in this space doing things that I actually enjoy, because it doesn't feel like work. I could put 12, 15 hours a day in crypto and I love every second of it. But in real life, I put, you know, I have an 8 hour, 9 hour day. I'm just like, this is shit. I'm exhausted. It's no fun. I feel like I don't accomplish anything, but when I'm in crypto, I feel like I accomplish so much.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, if you have $100 and you believe in what Pylons is doing, our crowdfunding campaign, the website is going to be taking investments on Monday. So
yeah, I'll definitely be throwing a little in there. And again, not financial advice, but I mean, I think that's really cool to be. Yeah. And I don't think there has been any crowdfunding for anyone. And in particular, obviously Americans can't really partake in anything. So it's going to be kind of fun because there are some cool things out there that I'm like, man, I really like what they're trying to do, but I'm in America, so I can't even get pre-sale, and it's kind of annoying. You know, it's really shit, to be honest with you. It's like, why can't
you know, it's my money. I don't give a shit. It's like, if I lose, if I invest $500 into this or $1,000 and I lose it, I'm a big boy. I can take it, you know, but why can't I get access just because of some imaginary line that I live in between, you know? So
it sucks. And, you know, I go to the like New York, I go to the New York Cosmos meetups and I'm talking to Sonny and I'm just like, God damn it. I wish I could just like do an LBP, but I can't do it. I gotta be, you know, like I just, we're really trying to put our heads down and in the long run, like having done everything right is going to matter when it comes time to like have 100 million users. So, you know, this is it. I'm not aware of any L1 that you've ever been able to, as a retail US investor, like buy into legally, right? You can buy Bitcoin because it's a commodity because of the way it was launched, but basically, and no one's going to get mad at you for buying Ethereum, even though like that clearly was a security offering, but like, you know, this is an L1, right? And it's legal. You can actually invest in this L1. So that's the story. And yeah, do people have questions about anything really?
Yeah, feel free. I mean, I have my DMs open too, because I know a lot of people, they just like to chill and then ask questions via DM. But yeah, I mean, I'm here to help too. So I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, I'll retweet or whatever whenever it goes live, and I'm definitely going to partake personally. So my question with that is, it's going to just be like a debit and credit card to do that, or how would someone go about that?
It's a credit. I think it is. Yeah. Debit and credit card. I've been looking on their public platform, but I haven't pulled the trigger on anything as an investor yet. So I actually don't know the experience, but I think it's debit and credit card primarily.
Man, shout out to Mark. He just says, feel the same when I work in crypto. Hours are just flying by. A great space, guys. I appreciate that, man. Thanks for stopping by. I always shout out everyone that stops by, because I don't know what it is. Like, I played sports at a high level. I coached at a pretty high level. I've interacted with people. So in my job in real life, I talk to probably about 30 people per day each day, and mainly about taxes and things like that, and psychologically I get to understand what human emotion is. And it's like, it's just, we're conditioned, unfortunately, whenever the going gets tough or like shit's not going your own way, just to kind of like give up or fold or not be interested. And really like Michael was just saying earlier, like the fundamentals in this space have not changed. In fact, like they just keep improving. So what human nature is like, oh shit, my investment's down, or it's even, or man, what I did have and now what I do have, like, and then you just kind of get disinterested. And really, it's not the right mindset to have. You need to keep like learning, growing, collaborating, figuring things out, because like I was saying earlier, these are all startups. So, you know, if you're in early and you're kind of like listening to these spaces and other people's spaces, and you're asking questions, like you're so much ahead of the game when it comes to whenever the market does return. And then people all of a sudden, you know, like let's just use a random example. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but like Adam goes to like $50. And then, you know, that's when like random people sit at home are like, oh, let's get into Adam now. And it's like, well, where have you been? Like Adam was down under $10 and you could have been earning like this whole time or whatever. So like, I always respect the people that like still see the vision, still here listening, tuning in, you know, providing content or whatever, because that's really what it takes. And, you know, I just appreciate it, because I know like Twitter spaces, when the market was going, like I didn't have to even say, hey, there's a Twitter space. I could just randomly set one up and 200-300 people come by. Now it's like, you know, you record it, and I still get a lot of people that listen to the recording. So it is what it is, but I'm just letting you know, you guys are ahead of the curve and you're doing the right thing by just plugging along, man.
Yep. Agreed.
It's crazy how it is though. Like, it's just like human nature. It's like, oh shit's not going my way. Let me just like not overcome it and get back up. You know, I use like the analogies of, you know, everyone gets knocked down in sports and in real life too. Like everyone gets, life's not perfect. You're never just going to, everything's going to work out like it. And that's the same thing with like you guys building, you know, it's like, oh shit, something happens. Do you just give up, or do you like figure out a way to fix it? You have to figure a way out to fix it. And I respect the people building things in this space too, because I know it's not easy.
shit, you guys are, it's new tech, it's new innovation. And that's why I get really excited for this space, because it's like you're pressing, you're pushing forward, and you're going against resistance, and you're just keep putting the product out there. And at the end of the day, like, that's why I get involved with crypto, because I think it changes everyone's lives for a positive. Yeah, there are going to be bad actors, but in the end, like, this is cool tech, and people that love, I personally just love tech. So it's like, it's really cool just for that part of it. So you have any last thoughts about, like, what's going on and everything?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
I mean, I think, you know, this is a good time to get, you know, think about your exposure. If you're invested in crypto and you don't have your own wallet, like, get your own wallet. Even if you leave most of your stuff on an exchange, like, at least have some of it in a wallet. Like, I don't know. It's going to be a very volatile time. We have no idea what we're going to learn about, like, FTX. And if you're interested in the technology, like, figure out what's cool. Like, have a vision, right? This is what I say to everything. So this can sort of be like what I say, right? Which is just like, have a thesis, have a vision. How is this going to work? Like, what do you think is the outcome here? How is it going to play out? And then, like, align yourself with that vision. So, like, if you believe in monkey JPEGs and you have a reason you believe in monkey JPEGs, like, buy some monkey JPEGs, right? And if you believe that, like, people are going to, like, you know, play mobile blockchain games, then, like, get involved in mobile blockchain game platforms, which is like what I did, right? And that's why I did it. So, yeah, just stick to what you believe in, right? Like, you know, this is not a good time to, like, trade momentum and trade on, like, sentiment on Twitter. Just, like, stick to what you believe in.
Yeah, that's so true. I always say that, like, as an investor, you know, invest in things you understand or you use, at least use it. And, like, then you can say, oh, you know what, that was a good experience. Let me, like, look into it more. That's kind of how I got into Osmosis. Like, I used it. I'm like, yeah, that was smooth. I like what this is. So I got involved with Osmosis. And, you know, just in general with crypto, I totally agree. Don't trade on momentum. You know, you might be in some of your assets and you don't really see it moving. And you're like, hey, this other thing just pumped today for 25-30% in one day. Don't get into it at that point. Like, it's probably, if you are thinking about it, go do your research. And maybe wait for it to be red for a couple of days in a row if you're going to get in, because that's just the way it works. Like, just supply and demand. People FOMO in when things are pumping up, and that's really not when you want to do it, to be honest with you. You want to be in it before that and then maybe take some profits when it goes up. But yeah, just have a thesis. That's a good way of putting it, because at the end of the day, like, if you do all the research and then you're wrong, at least you put in the time and you don't feel like you got cheated, you know? But when you just kind of do things what other people say, and then something bad happens, like, for example, me with, like, Luna and UST, I really was involved with so many other things that it just, like, I got caught up in it, and I didn't do all the research, or I didn't write, like, just look at it. Like, I'm an accountant, so I should have knew, like, hey, 20% on a stable coin is just unsustainable. Like, that's just a huge Ponzi, you know, like, it's a red flag. And, you know, I kind of just went with the flow, and then, you know, I lost a lot of money, and then I felt like an asshole because it's like, I didn't do the research. So now there's no one to blame besides myself. Now, if I dug in and did hundreds and hundreds of hours of research and was like, yeah, this 20% is sustainable and this is why, and then it didn't work, then I'm not as mad I don't feel like an idiot because I did the research, even though my research was wrong. So kind of do that. Cause like Michael was saying, the next, like, 3 to 6 months are probably going to be pretty crazy because of, like, there still hasn't been that much fallout yet with all this, like, bullshit with the prime, these people acting like prime brokers and hedge funds and, you know, having a place where they're $1 billion short of actual asset of Bitcoin, which is just really a shame. So just stay safe. Yeah. Take your money off centralized exchanges for sure. You know, get a wallet, be secure, be smart. Don't give your seed phrases to anyone. Don't, if you have a PC, don't click on random bullshit and links and be smart about stuff. Cause unfortunately, you know, people are going to be bad actors out there. So I'll kind of just end it on that. Appreciate everyone. Michael, it was a great conversation as always. We'll do it again soon. And we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, I'm just interested in what you guys got going on, because mobile gaming is going to be huge in blockchain, I believe. So hopefully it's just, you know, pylons takes off. So
thank you, sir. Yeah, that's the goal. We're going to make it happen. And yeah, thanks for having me on the space.
My pleasure.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
All right, everyone. Take care. Have a good day.
Take care, everyone.
Cheers.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the Ether. That was Caffeine and Cosmos Alpha with Pylons featuring Michael Sofair, hosted by Cosmos Haas. Recorded on Saturday, November 19th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support. Now, with Spark IBC enabled.
Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years, off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie roll. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls, handed reports it. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2+2. 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 Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big trip aristocrat, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hid the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2+2. Show me what that thing could do. 2+2. Show me what that thing could do. 2+2. Show me what that thing could do. 2+2.
Terra Spaces.